Okay, so a couple different things. You want to have the book out. The reason that I want you to have the book out is because, especially in the introductory chapters, we're going to be talking about some kind of big concepts, and your book does a nice job of laying out diagrams that explain some of these concepts of how the world works. So I can tell you how they work, but a lot of the time, it's really nice to look at a picture, very accessible, and you can pick it up maybe even a little bit quicker than listening to me or writing down notes on it. So, again, have that book out, and I'll direct you to diagrams from time to time. I've got my book up here, too, and I will be directing you in that way. Okay, so, chapter 2, again, we're looking at the physical world or the natural world. The second section, which we're going to cover briefly today, is entitled Forces of Change. Kind of imagine what we're talking about here. We're talking about when you're looking at the shape of the Earth, when you're looking at the continents, the overall, you know, maybe shape of the land, such as mountains and rivers and valleys and all those different things. What creates those shapes? What creates how the world is laid out? So that's what we're going to cover a little bit in section 2. So what geographers know about the Earth, they know that the Earth's internal or inside and external or outside structure, including tectonic plates, is responsible for the following. The creation of the continents as we see them today. So if you look at the big map at the back of the room, all those shapes which turn into the seven different continents that we have today on the Earth's surface, they've changed over time, and we're going to get into that as we go. They've changed over time, and that has a lot to do with different kind of forces of change that are going on inside the Earth. Also, the internal and internal structure, such as tectonic plates, are responsible for the landforms. Like I said, mountains, valleys, all the different shapes of the Earth's surface. A lot of them can be accounted for by some internal processes going on inside of the Earth. Okay. Buzz to the next slide here. The planet is made up primarily of three different layers. Okay. There's a nice diagram in your book on page 35 showing this, showing the three main layers. The core is exactly what it sounds like. It is the hot, solid center of the Earth. Okay, you can see that in the diagram. It is kind of a bright yellow in your diagram. The next layer out is called the mantle, which is a thick layer of hot, dense rock. This is your middle layer of the Earth. And then on the outside, we have the crust, which again is, these are very well named. It's exactly what it sounds like, right? The crust is the rocky shell forming the Earth's surface. Okay, so, and in your diagram, it also gives you dimensions kind of about how thick each one of these layers are. But it gives you a pretty good picture of what the Earth looks like. If you could cut it in half, or if you could cut it open, you're going to see those three main layers all made up of different things. Another thing that we know that there is plate movement that goes on all the time. It's slow, it's gradual. We don't feel it very often, or we hope we don't feel it very often, but we know that plate movement is responsible for the way the Earth looks today. What we're going to call it is plate tectonics. Geographers use the term plate tectonics, which is the theory that plates are moving slowly around the globe and have produced the Earth's largest features. So the idea here is, well, it's a theory, but it's pretty well agreed upon that you have, well, let's see if we have a good diagram on this. Yes, we do. On page 37, if you want to flip over to 37, we have a nice diagram on plate movement. And it shows the Earth kind of cut up into sections. I picture it a little bit like a big soccer ball. The Earth is a big soccer ball, and you have all kinds of pieces kind of packed together. But these different pieces are in movement. kind of slow, gradual movement. And they're sliding underneath each other, they're kind of grinding against each other, okay? They're bashing into each other. Okay? All these different things are going on, but the Earth is kind of cut up into all these different sections. The outer edge of it, or the outer shell of it, is cut up into all these different plates or sections. And you can also see in your diagram the different directions of movement. So these different plates are all kind of moving different directions and bumping into each other and doing a lot of different things, and your diagram shows you some of those different movements. If you look at the west coast of North America, you can see the two plates grinding against each other, the North American plate, okay, and the Pacific plate, and you see that they're moving against each other. One is moving to the north and one's moving to the south, approximately. Okay, they're moving and grinding against each other. Not surprisingly, you get earthquakes in that area quite a bit. Okay. Imagine two huge, heavy, thick plates. One's going one direction, one's going the other direction. They're pressed against each other. Okay, as they go, you get a rumble, you get a boom, you get earthquakes. Okay. We'll look at that a little bit more. I have some kind of cool photos and visuals of some of the different earthquakes in San Francisco and down by the San Andreas Fault in Southern California that we'll look at a little bit later on. This theory lends itself to other theories. That is, at one point geographers are looking at the Earth and they say, hey, you know what, if you take Africa here and you look at this edge of Africa, hey, what do you know? If we push this over, it seems to kind of fit into this gap here. You have this bump out on Western Africa. If we push that over, it seems almost like it would fit into the Gulf of Mexico. So that got people thinking, and they came up with a theory called Pangaea. And that's the idea that we have all these plates, they're moving gradually over time. And over the course of millions and millions of years, the idea is that at one point you had something called Pangaea. Pangaea was a huge supercontinent. So on page 36, this is what we call continental drift, the idea that slowly over time these continents have separated and moved apart. But if you go back in the upper left-hand corner, there's a visual of Pangaea, or the supercontinent, looking about 225 million years ago, where all the continents that we see spread out today were squished together, squished against each other, and then broke up and moved away from each other over time. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Looking at internal forces of change, we know that plate tectonics are responsible for folding, lifting, bending, and breaking parts of the Earth's surface. When plates collide, when they move either against each other, they go underneath each other, they bash into each other, we have different terms for these different processes. The first one that we're going to look at is subduction. And again, we have good visuals on pages 38 and 39. We have some good visuals of these different processes. First one is subduction. This is where a heavier sea plate dives beneath the lighter continental plate. So when these two plates move into each other, one dives underneath the other and subducts, or moves underneath the larger continental plate. Okay, so that's your first visual on your left-hand side. That's subduction. Okay. We also have accretion. This is where a sea plate is sliding underneath the continental plate again. So same basic process. But as this happens, you get a debris buildup, which causes the continent to grow outward. Now that might seem a little bit weird, a little bit confusing, okay? But what is happening is as this sea plate is diving underneath the continental plate, it again is kind of grinding against that plate and it's breaking off pieces of the plate. That those chunks end up kind of getting left behind. And you see, again, you see your second visual over on the left-hand side. they form, kind of in that crack or in that wedge, they form a bunch of kind of extra continent. It kind of builds out the continent out into the sea. All right, that's the process of accretion. We also have the process called spreading, where two sea plates are pulled apart. It's a pretty simple one. You see that on page 39 on the left-hand side, where you get two plates that are separating or pulling apart. Call that spreading. That's going to leave behind deep ravines, crevices. Right? So three different main processes going on here. Different processes, different types of reactions to the pressure coming from one side or another as the plates move one direction or another. We get at times folds. Okay, as these plates move, at times when there's pressure, these huge, massive, rocky plates can fold or bend. Let's see if we have it. Pretty sure that we have an image of this. No, we don't have an image, do we? Okay, well, I guess you just have to imagine this one. So, large plates, when they are pressurized, condensed, get another plate pushing into it, that plate can fold. They also, if there's enough pressure put on a plate, that plate can crack, which is called a fault. Faulting occurs when the earth cannot be bent any further, okay? And the crust, or the earth's crust, cracks and breaks into big blocks. Earthquakes, what are earthquakes? We just had a very large earthquake in Haiti, and I'm sure you guys have seen some of the devastation caused by it. What is an earthquake? Earthquakes are sudden, violent movements of tectonic plates along a fault line. So fault lines are where multiple plates come together. When there is movement, kind of, it's not always steady. It's not always the same speed of movement. Sometimes you have rather sudden movement, which creates a violent effect. This is where we get the shaking and some of the destruction that happens, for example, like in Haiti. There's also, I'm going to show you guys a visual at some point of an earthquake that took place just outside of San Francisco during the 1988 World Series. There was about 60,000 people watching the Oakland A's and whoever it was that they were playing at Candlestick Park in San Francisco when there was a very large earthquake, and actually I believe it was Interstate 5 collapsed not far outside of the stadium. So I've got some visuals to show you of that one as well. And it was in the late 1980s, so some of it was captured on video, which is kind of wild to see. Yeah, I'm going to skip through just a little bit of this here. Okay, I think I'm going to stop about here for today. You can continue on your own time and finish out those notes.